Looking for truth, I found answers.
I thought I had it all figured out. Then I found purpose.
I was lost, but then I found a place to belong.
I was abused, but now I'm healed.
I was in chains, but now I'm set free.
I was bitter. Then I found grace.
How many of you are ready to jump back into this series on Daniel? Good. We took a break last Sunday and focused on Mother's Day, and how many know that was the right thing to do, right? Even if there was some failure on my part, you know, I've never had so many people enjoy a misspoke word before. But I appreciate all of the grace that you have given to me in the last 7 days. May it be returned to you 100 times. All right. We're going to pick back up in Daniel chapter 6. And before we jump into today, I want to remind you that tonight we are meeting with our small groups. So if you're part of a group, make sure you're there. It's good. It's very important for us to stick together to encourage one another. And don't forget that next Sunday in this service, in the 11 o'clock service, we're going to be honoring all of our high school graduates. And so you'll want to be here and be part of that. And of course, if we're honoring high school graduates, how many know that means summer's right around the corner? That's one of the reasons we're talking about automate the important. And so I'm just telling you, I'm looking forward to a great, great summer here at our church. So make sure that you are part of that, okay? Now, if you're just joining us for this series, today is part 5. That means there's 4 messages. If you miss any of them, I'll encourage you to go online or on our Grace app and watch those. And we also did a Bible study last fall, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, through the book of Daniel, where we are just diving into all of the details of the book of Daniel. You can purchase those notes at the bookstore. You can listen to those messages, those Bible studies online, okay? So I encourage you, read the book of Daniel. Let's make this part of us, not just a message series, but let's let it transform us, because God's word is powerful. Am I talking to the right people today? Now, Daniel's in the Old Testament, and it's a book of history, and it's a book of prophecy. The first part of Daniel is a historical account of what happened to Daniel and his friends when they were taken out of Jerusalem into captivity in Babylon, which is modern-day Iraq. And the second part of the book of Daniel contains all of these visions, And these dreams, these prophetic images that God gave Daniel about the future. And that's what we're going to look at next Sunday as we bring this series to a close. I want to talk to you about pictures of prophecy and what God says about the future and how all this is going to end. Anybody wondering how it's all going to end? God already told us. We're going to talk about it next week. You're going to be encouraged. I encourage you to bring some people to church with you next Sunday. Now, one of the primary points that we have been emphasizing in this series is this. We are no longer living in spiritual Jerusalem. We are living in spiritual Babylon. Now, when you understand, you read the book of Daniel, you know that in Jerusalem, before Daniel was taken out of Jerusalem, before Babylon conquered Jerusalem, the law of God was the law of the land. And it had been for hundreds and hundreds of years. And so, but in Babylon, when Daniel was taken to Babylon, they didn't recognize Jehovah or Yahweh. There were no Ten Commandments. There was no Solomon's temple to go to and offer sacrifices. The Bible says they were a wicked people. History shows us that as well. And so for Daniel and the people of God, the people of Judah, the culture of Babylon was much different than the culture they grew up in. Does that sound familiar? How many would agree everything is changed in our culture? And it continues to change rapidly. If you haven't been paying attention, the laws of God are not the law of this land. Matter of fact, the laws of God are increasingly the enemy of the laws of this land. We talked a couple weeks ago about the growing insanity in our culture, of lack of common sense in our culture. Matter of fact, I heard about an article that was recently published concerning the state of Washington being one of several states who have adopted gender-neutral language in all of their government documentation. And so they don't want the word man or woman in any official government records, so they banned the word. One word they banned was penmanship from any of their documents because, you know, that would be sexist, and that might offend some people. And so they eliminated the word penmanship from any of their government documentation. And it's kind of ironic that the article says that this was mandated. I mean, shouldn't it be woman-dated? I mean, I'm not sure. It kind of shows you the insanity of this type of thinking, doesn't it? Now, we're coming to terms with the fact that this culture that we now live in is the new reality. And I know that's hard for a lot of us to accept. But this culture that we are living in is the new reality. Many of you remember that President Obama promised to fundamentally change our country. So why would anybody be surprised that he's actually doing it? And if you haven't been paying attention, there is no political savior on the horizon. Ronald Reagan's not going to rise from the grave and lead us back to glory. Or whatever president you think was great. And in the church context, the Gaithers aren't going to have a comeback tour. And restore everything to the way it used to be. I mean, when church was good. When it was the golden age of churchdom. When the carpet was burgundy. Everything was gold. Can I get a witness in the house of God? Listen, everything has changed. And a lot of Christians just aren't sure how to respond to the changes in our culture, the changing moral climate of our country. And, you know, a lot of people respond the wrong way. Some people are just cowering in fear. Some believers think we ought to just retreat into our Christian subculture, kind of cocoon ourselves in, and just kind of hold on until Jesus comes. You know, then there are other believers who are like, no, let's start a revolution. Let's take over. But I love what Dr. David Jeremiah wrote in his book. He wrote a book called Agents of Babylon. a book about the life of Daniel. I highly recommend it. It's a sermon series as well. This great quote, he says, "Do we stand against culture? That would be contentious. Do we stand down from our culture? Or is that compromise?" And there's a temptation to do that. "Do we stand aside from culture? Or is that cowardice?" And again, there are a lot of churches that say, don't even mention culture. There are a lot of churches that would never talk about this on a Sunday morning. We're not one of those churches. Do we stand up in our culture? That takes courage and conviction. How many agree it's the fourth one that the people of God should be doing in reaction to our culture? We should stand up with courage and conviction. Yeah. I want to encourage you today that historically, the Church of Jesus Christ has always thrived when it has been challenged. Christianity has always been a counterculture movement. Yes. Let's be honest, we've been the majority in the United States for so long, we've forgotten that. We have never been of this world. Right. We've been called aliens and strangers, and we've forgotten that. We were meant to change the world. That's right. So let me ask you some questions. I've got one fan here today, praise God. Could it be possible that the shift we're now seeing in our culture will actually help people get off the fence when it comes to their faith in Jesus? I wonder if God is eliminating the term casual Christian from our vocabulary because our faith is going to be tested in Babylon. Could it be that instead of doom and gloom, this is the church's finest hour? See, I don't see anywhere in the New Testament where Jesus, the apostles, or the early church prayed for the Roman government to change. Maybe they did, and we just don't read about it, but it seems unlikely to me. There's this reality. Listen, they didn't need the government to change for the mission of Jesus to go forward. And we've got to be able to separate that and understand. When we ask this question, what is culture's greatest need? Since we're living in spiritual Babylon, what is the greatest need of our culture? You might be surprised by the answer, and it's today's big idea for the message. Our culture's greatest need is you. This is not the time to cower in fear. This is not the time to retreat or be quiet. This is not the time to abdicate your responsibility. This is the time to be the people of God. This is the hour that God has called us to. This is the time that God has chosen you and I to live in. And God wants you to step up. Do you hear his voice today? Now, I know there's going to be times in Babylon where it may appear that we are on the losing side. It may look like that from a surface perspective. Matter of fact, one of the favorite lines of those who want to radically change our culture into a godless culture, they love to say, "You are on the wrong side of history." So they love to paint that picture. And isn't it amazing how people, they don't use logic to support their argument. They just condemn, they ridicule. There's not an ounce of fact in what's going on, which, by the way, reminds you of, oh yeah, Lucifer. That helps you recognize the spirit of the age that we're living in, right? But for those who say we're on the wrong side of history, I'll talk about this more next Sunday, but I've got some really good news. God's in control of who's in control. And in the end, we win. In the end, God will rule. God will reign. The Bible says, the flowers fade, the grass withers away, but the word of the Lord will last how long, church? Forever. Forever. Somebody give God praise if you're glad for that. So, what do we do? What does our culture need? Our culture needs you. The culture needs the people of God to stand up and make a difference. And so for us, the question is, how do we do that? What does that look like? And this is where Daniel shows us the way. He provides a pattern for us. Now, we're going to pick it up in chapter 6, And remember, Daniel served in Babylon for a long, long time, almost 80 years. And so he served Nebuchadnezzar. God radically judged Nebuchadnezzar. He puts his faith in Daniel's God. Nebuchadnezzar dies. His son Belshazzar comes up. And you know, then there's the whole handwriting on the wall in chapter 5. Many, many, Tinkle McPherson. You know, you've been weighed in the balances and found wanting. I wish we had time to preach that message. That's a lot of fun. So Belshazzar falls, the kingdom of Babylon falls to the Medes and the Persians. So now Darius is the king, but Daniel still remains. See a pattern? Come on, somebody. Kingdoms rise, kingdoms fall. The people of God will always be here. It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. So Darius had Daniel as part of his leadership team because he knew he could trust him. Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps. Why? Because of his what? Exceptional qualities. Daniel stood out because of his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. How many would agree? That's a lot of influence. Over the whole kingdom? That's a lot of power. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel and his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. That's the job description for every millennial in the house of God. No corruption, trustworthy, don't be negligent. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel." Now, when we read these verses, I want you to notice what we can learn from Daniel. I don't have to copy the culture. I don't have to be like the culture. From Daniel, we learn in Babylon, I can set the culture. I'm going to say that again. See, in Babylon, we are always tempted to copy the culture, to be like the culture. No, no, no. Daniel shows us we can set the culture. Are you listening closely? How many know you can't make a difference unless you're different? I preached a sermon years ago, the difference makes the difference. And so God's hope for the current culture is for you and me to be different. Look at what Paul says about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. Paul goes on to say in 2 Corinthians 3, and we with unveiled faces, we reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord. And so the Bible says, Paul says, we are here on the earth to reflect the glory of God so people can see Jesus. He goes on to say in Ephesians, Paul says, his intent, God's intent, was that now through the church, who's the church? If you're a follower of Jesus, you're a part of the church of Jesus Christ. So God's plan, Paul says, through the church is to the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. So God's plan for the culture is you and me to reflect the glory of God. A culture needs you and me to be Christ's ambassadors, to reveal the power and the wisdom of God to this world that is growing in darkness. And how many know that's not going to happen if we choose to be like everybody else? We've got to be like Daniel and distinguish ourselves. In other words, we need to be exceptional. God has called you and me to be exceptional. This is not the time to be average. This is not the time to go along and get along. God is calling you and me to be exceptional like Daniel. Daniel served under at least four different kings and had influence on all of them. Why? Not by being a jerk, not by preaching turn or burn. The Bible says he did it because of his exceptional qualities. It's time to be exceptional. What does that look like? Daniel gives us a pattern. Write these down in your notes. If you're going to be exceptional like Daniel, you need to serve with exceptional love.
Yes.
To serve with exceptional love. This is the opposite of the culture that you and I live in. But God calls us to love people. Now, remember, a contemporary of Daniel is the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah is not in Babylon. He's back in Jerusalem. He prophesied and warned the people of God that all this is going to happen. And so they get taken to Babylon, and then Jeremiah writes him a letter a couple years later, and we find it in Jeremiah 29. Look at what he says. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem into Babylon. You ready? This is my advice, Jeremiah says. Matter of fact, this is what the Lord says. Build houses. Settle down. Plant gardens. Eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. And daughters, increase in number there, do not decrease. Notice what Jeremiah did not say. Freak out. Batten down the hatches. Start a revolution. That's not what he said. He says, while you're in Babylon, live your life. Do it with exception. Get married. Have sons and daughters. Listen, I know young adults and some of you high school kids, and I mean, you look around at some of us Christians and you're like, the whole world's coming to an end. And it will eventually. We'll talk about that next week. But I want to encourage you. I think some of you can just breathe after hearing this today. Amen. What has God called me to do? Go to college. Follow the call of God. Get married. Find a godly man or a woman to marry. Have kids. Raise those kids to serve Jesus all the days of their life. And do everything that you do with purpose. Find the call of God and follow it with all of your heart. How many believe that's true? That's what Jeremiah says to them. And he goes on to give them this great advice. He says, while you're in Babylon, verse 7, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Now, you would put this verse under the category of things that make you go, Jeremiah says, while you're in Babylon, pray for Babylon. While you're in Babylon, pray for the good of Babylon. Seek the prosperity of Babylon. Help people out. Help people succeed. Help them be blessed. And while you do that, guess what? You too will prosper. You too will be blessed. That's a little different than some of the things you're reading on Facebook or hearing from a lot of people talk. Don't you love it when God's word gives us real direction? See, when Daniel was in charge, the king prospered. The Bible says he didn't suffer loss. And listen, and when we are in positions of influence, the people around us should prosper. But when the culture looks at Christians and followers of Jesus, what should they see? They should see the face of a servant. They should experience the grace and the love of God. Now, that doesn't mean you can't speak up. But that doesn't mean you don't speak the truth, because love equals truth. But I'm going to tell you what, the world, the spirit of Antichrist wants to paint you and me as these people who hate everybody, who hate everything. And how many know that's exactly the farthest thing from the truth? Daniel shows us that in Babylon, you serve with exceptional love. You know what that means? That means we look for needs and meet them. We look for opportunities to help people, and we help them.
Yes.
We sacrifice our time, our energy, our talents, our treasure for the good of others.
Amen.
And as a result, the Bible says they'll see Jesus in us. Now listen, what does that look like? Well, you may be driving down the road. You see somebody in need. You can help them. You help them. It may be so profound as showing up at work tomorrow morning with a couple dozen long donuts and just give them away. How many are going to witness right now? That's from Jesus. It's amazing what kindness will do. It may be simple as walking across the street to your neighbor's house and knocking on the door and say, hey, I just want you to know I've been praying for you. How can I pray for you? It may be the at school, where you go to school, at the lunch table, that person that's always eating by themselves, that person that other people make fun of, you're the one that reaches out to them and encourages them. I don't know. I want to encourage you to just, as a matter of fact, I want to dare you to pray this prayer. I'm going to double dog dare you. Pray this prayer. Jesus, show me a need today and give me the courage to meet it. Amen. If we're not careful, we get caught up in the busyness of our culture and the selfishness of our culture, the self-serving spirit of our culture. And even as believers, we become blind to the needs of the people around us. I believe we should pray, God, open our eyes. And we talked a lot about this in the second message of this series, so I'm not going to belabor the point. But if we're going to stand out, if we're going to make a difference, we need to serve with exceptional love. Everybody believe that? Say amen. The second way to be exceptional that we learn from Daniel is this. We need to live with exceptional character. We need to live with exceptional character.
Come on, brother, come on.
Now, it doesn't say be a character. Live with character.
Come on now.
Now, verse 5, here in chapter 6, we see Daniel's character testified. We will the peers of Daniel says, we're never going to find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel. How many know that's our goal? That should be our determination. We don't want anybody to be able to accuse us of any wrongdoing. With our relationships, with our money, with our time, come on, somebody. We want to be different. Now, Daniel lived such a life of integrity and character, there was nothing they could use against him. And I want you to notice that because of that, Darius trusted him. Even though Darius did not serve Daniel's God, Darius didn't necessarily believe in Daniel's God, but he saw his character and he noticed that he could trust him. Now, how many know the temptation for us in spiritual Babylon is to look like everybody else and to act like everybody else, to cheat like everybody else, to cut corners like everybody else? Matter of fact, one of the favorite sayings in this culture is, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. I was talking to one of the entrepreneurs in our church who owns a business, and we were just having a casual conversation this past week, and he was just remarking to me just what a challenge it is to find people to work for him, people with character. And can I tell you, that's across the board for believers and unbelievers alike. If you live with exceptional character, your life will stand out in this culture. If you live with exceptional character, you will stand out where you work. You will stand out where you live because of your character. Now, Jesus described it this way in the New Testament in Matthew 5. He says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, becomes like everybody else, how can it be made salty again? It's good. It's not good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, say it with me, let your light, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. All right, all right, all right. I'm just going to say you did way better than the 9 o'clock service. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works. Why? Listen, we don't do good works. We don't serve people to get glory. We do all of these things so that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Jesus said, be the salt of the earth. And can I tell you, it's sad that people who go to church and they've been claiming to be followers of Jesus for some time, and yet we talk the same as everybody else. We act the same as everybody else. Now, I'm not talking if you're a new believer, you just started. Grace, grace, grace. You got grace, man. I'm talking to people who've been doing this a long time. What are we doing? Jesus said, be the salt of the earth. Be different. The difference makes the difference. Live with exceptional character in your life. We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to be salty. Now, I like that Jesus did not say, you are the vinegar of the earth. I think there might be too many Christians who think that's their role in our culture. It's just, No, salt is tasty. Salt is good. Live your life in such a way that they look to Jesus. Amen? Here's the third one. If you're going to be like Daniel, you need to pray with exceptional faithfulness. Pray with exceptional faithfulness. And I would submit to you that this is the one area that if you do well, will affect all of the others. That if you'll pray well, these other things will come quite naturally to you. Can I tell you that one of the reasons that Daniel was exceptional in his character, he was exceptional, was because of his prayer life. He was exceptional in prayer. He put God first in his schedule. He made a relationship with God a priority. He communicated with God on a regular basis. Can I tell you, that's what provided him the courage and the strength to stand up in his culture and be different, right? Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, when Daniel learned that this law had been signed, the other people who were jealous of Daniel, they encouraged Darius to create a law that it was illegal to pray. And so when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and knelt down as usual in his upstairs room with its windows open toward Jerusalem. He prayed three times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to his God. Just as he had always done, he prayed as usual. He didn't start praying when the government made it illegal to pray. He had already developed the spiritual discipline of prayer. I realized that we, because of our history in the United States, we've kind of clouded Christianity with freedom, listen closely, and because of that, some people choose to stand with God out of rebellion against the current culture, a rebellion against the current government. Remember the sign I showed you a couple weeks ago? Don't say you'll go to jail for your faith if you won't go to church for it. Listen, in spiritual Babylon, you got to do one thing well. You got to pray well. And can I tell you, if you learn to pray well, all of these other things will come naturally to you. So I have a dream. I have a dream for you. I have a dream for me. I have a dream for our church, that we would be a house of prayer. That you would be a man or a woman of prayer. That you and I together make prayer a priority in our life like Daniel did. That no matter what the government says, we're not going to wait until the government makes it illegal to pray to the God of the Bible or to believe the God of the Bible. We're not going to wait till then to get things right with God. When is the right time to pray? Right now. When is the right time to develop the habit of prayer? It's right now, today. Don't you wait. Because it may be too late when that time comes. Now, I want to encourage you. A couple of the different ways to learn how to pray on your way out. We put together a prayer book filled with a bunch of prayer models to learn how to pray with the Bible hand in hand. It's good stuff. You can get that on your way out. One of the best ways to learn how to pray is join us in one of our prayer services. Tuesday morning at 6:30, Sunday morning at 8:15, Saturday morning at 6:30. Some of the best ways to learn how to pray is just pray. Or be around other people who pray. I just want to encourage you. That will help you walk with God, help you be exceptional. Somebody say amen. Amen. So when is the right time to build your prayer life? Right now. Here's the last one. Another reason that Daniel was exceptional. He ministered with exceptional power. With exceptional power. Now, a lot of people would skip this part, but to me, it's too obvious. Daniel operated in the power of God. In this story in Daniel chapter 6, God miraculously delivers Daniel from the den of lions. That's what we call a miracle. In Daniel 2 and Daniel 4, we see Daniel interpreting the king's dreams, And in one case, actually telling the king what his dream was before he interpreted the dream for him. How many know that's powerful? And remember, if you go back and read it in Daniel 2, all that happened after Daniel had prayed. And so the kings of Babylon knew when they needed to hear the voice of God, when they were confused about the future or these things that were happening in their dreams, they knew somebody who talked to Jesus. They knew somebody who could speak the voice of God, and that man was Daniel. He operated in exceptional spiritual power. And as a result, Daniel gained great influence in the lives of the kings that he served. Do you see this? You say, Pastor, what are you saying? What does that look like in the current culture, in the culture that we live in? I'm trying to tell you that God wants you and me to operate in exceptional spiritual power.
Amen.
In Acts chapter 2, Peter is preaching on the day of Pentecost, and he makes this prophecy. He's quoting from Joel. He says, in the last days, anybody believe we're in the last days now? Oh, yeah. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Now, here's the encouraging part. Listen, when all of this stuff is happening in our culture, culture is changing, Peter says, he's quoting Joel, he's saying in the last days, that's going to be the time there will be this amazing outpouring of God's Spirit on the world. And it's going to affect the old, it's going to affect the young. This powerful thing that's going to happen in people's lives. Now, the question is, why is God going to pour out His Spirit in the last days? Is it so that we could have extended revival services? No. It's so that we can speak to kings and governors and mayors and neighbors and co-workers and fellow students, and we can be the voice of God. And we can operate words of wisdom and words of knowledge and gifts of faith and gifts of power. Why? So that in Babylon, they will see the God of heaven. That's why He's going to pour out His Spirit on all flesh, because a lot of us forget the rest of this message that Peter preaches on Acts chapter 2. The whole purpose of the outpouring of God's Spirit is verse 21, so that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. God's not willing that any should perish. God's not willing that anybody in Babylon perish. He's not willing that anybody in America should perish. So He wants us to operate in exceptional spiritual power so that people can serve the living God and trust Jesus to save them. Can I tell you that there is no biblical context for a genuine move of the Holy Spirit that is simply for our own benefit? Listen closely. Because this is how things have changed, and a lot of us are stuck. There is no biblical context where the purpose of the outpouring of God's Spirit is for our personal benefit only. It's always tied to the mission.
Right.
What is the mission? So that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Amen.
We need to operate in supernatural spiritual power or exceptional spiritual power so that people can serve Jesus. Now, how's that going to happen, Pastor? How are we going to experience the power of God? How are we going to walk in that kind of power? You know, how do we operate in this? Well, it's simpler than you might think. Because we've already shown you the way. Daniel has already shown you the way. And it's in the first three things that we've said. The first one is serve with exceptional love. Listen, walk in love. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says, if I speak with the tongues of men and angels, and I prophesy, and I do all sorts of miracles, but I don't have love, Paul says, I am worth nada, zip, nothing. Come on, somebody. Don't call yourself a Pentecostal and totally ignore the needs of people around you. Come on, somebody, I'm preaching. And so we need to operate in the love of God. If we operate in the love of God, we're in tune with God's Spirit. Live with exceptional character. How does a person live with character? Can I tell you that character is simply a series of choices of listening to and obeying the voice of the Holy Spirit. When you're tempted to be like everybody else, the Holy Spirit says, no, you're different. Operate different. When you're tempted to lie, when you're tempted to cheat, when you're tempted to blah, 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 the Holy Spirit is that conviction. Can I tell you, you can't have character without listening to the Holy Spirit. So you have already, I think this is good, you have already developed this habit of listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And the more you listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, the clearer His voice will become. And all of a sudden, you'll start hearing stuff other people aren't hearing. Hey, I was praying for you the other day, and God encouraged me to pray about your niece. Some sort of confusion. Does that mean anything to you? And they're like, how'd you know that? Well, I was praying for you. Well, how'd you know that? Well, I think God told me. How's that happen? Well, because I'm already used to listening to the voice of God. It's not as hard as you think. So if I live with exceptional love and I live with exceptional character, and get this, if I pray with exceptional faithfulness, how many know that the power of God comes from prayer? Show me somebody who's faithful in prayer, and I'll show you somebody who has the power of God on the inside of them. Right? If I meet with God on a regular basis, He starts to rub off on me. Matter of fact, that's what the anointing, that word anointing means. It means to rub. So remember what they said about the apostles in the early church? They took note of them because they had been with Jesus. Can I tell you that if we'll just spend time with Jesus, if we'll just open the Word and we'll pray and we'll talk to Jesus, something happens to us supernaturally. We become salty because this power of God begins to be inside of us. Listen, it may be spectacular. It may be some amazing thing. It may be just in everyday life conversation. How'd you know that? I don't know. Why are you different? I don't understand. And as a result, ultimately, this is the goal. People will be drawn to Jesus. Nod your head if you believe that. So I want to encourage you. If you're worried, I want to encourage you if you're down. I want to encourage you if you're afraid. God's not afraid. God's not surprised. God is calling you. He says to you and me, the culture's greatest need is you. Listen, you have what your neighbors need. You have what your coworkers need. In this growing insanity of the culture you and I live in, there is this thing called common sense that is going to be seen as exceptional wisdom. In a crazy world where all rules are off, all bets are off, this thing called the Bible and the Ten Commandments. Oh my, that is, how did, pretty simple. Are you getting this? We have love. We have kindness. We have compassion. We have grace. Listen, we have Jesus. And the enemy desperately does not want the world to see Jesus. So I hope you understand and I hope you see what's truly going on. The enemy wants you to hide. The enemy wants you to cower. The enemy wants you to just blend in with the culture. And the people of God say, no way. God, make me salty. God, make me different. Go ahead and pray, God, make me exceptional like Daniel in my culture. I want to share with you what I read one pastor said. Seems like hundreds of pastors are preaching through Daniel right now, so how many know that's not a coincidence? God's speaking to His church. One pastor put it this way: unprecedented moral decline in America will open the door for unprecedented opportunity for the church. Let me say that again. Unprecedented moral decline in America will open the door for unprecedented opportunity for the church. Where sin abounds, the Bible says, grace abounds even greater. When the darkness becomes darker, the light becomes brighter. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Amen. So let's walk through this and let's pray through this for just a moment. Would you bow your head, close your eyes? Let's talk about serving with exceptional love. Would you ask the Holy Spirit to search your heart? Say, Lord, forgive me for passing up opportunities to help people. Forgive me for being so busy with my own life and my own things that I don't recognize the hurts and the needs around me. And God, I invite you to open my eyes to the needs around me. I invite you to give me your heart of compassion for those who are broken. Help me, oh God, to reject the culture of selfishness and to take on the love of a servant. How about this issue of character? It's easy to just blend in with the world and do whatever the world says, but it takes courage to be different in your character. Would you ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, search my heart. If there's any lack of character, any lack of integrity in my life, forgive me for lying. Forgive me for being dishonest. Forgive me for deceiving and not telling the whole truth. Forgive me, God. I want to be different. I want to be honest. I want to be righteous. I want to be a person of integrity, God. I want to stand out where I live, where I work, where I play. May people see Jesus in me through my series of simply listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. God, give me integrity. How about this area of prayer? Are you a faithful prayer? Maybe your prayer life is pretty spotty, or maybe it's non-existent. Can I tell you, today's the day to choose to become a faithful prayer. Just ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, help me to be a man, a woman of prayer. Would you give me courage to simply just make it a priority? Help me to build my prayer life, Lord. Holy Spirit, I invite you to teach me how to pray. I invite you to speak to me about how to grow in my prayer life. And just do it, Lord. And God, I pray that you would give me exceptional power. The Holy Spirit, I ask you to come into my life and fill me with exceptional spiritual power. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Fill me with the gifts of God. May I speak words of knowledge and words of wisdom. May I pray for people and they be healed. May you use me as part of miracles, God. May the power of God rest upon me, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Make me like Daniel, God, and give me a voice to the people around me, that they may know the God of heaven, so that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Keep your heads bowed, your eyes closed. If you're here this morning, and this message has challenged you and convicted you about your relationship with God, then I've got really good news. That the grace of God, the love of God, is big enough to include you. God brought you here today. God caused you to turn this on today, your computer or your TV or your phone, because He loves you. He wants you to be part of His family. And in spiritual Babylon, He wants to rescue you from what is to come. He wants to rescue you from yourself. So if you don't have a relationship with God, you're not serving Jesus, there's compromise going on in your heart, there's sin in your life, you need to dedicate your heart and life to Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus is very simple but very powerful. You're lost. You sinned. God loved you so much, He sent His Son Jesus to become the substitute. He paid the penalty for your sin. Your response makes all the difference. Do you put your faith and trust in Jesus, or do you reject the gift of God? If you want to be saved, you put your faith and trust to Jesus Christ. You follow Him. He becomes the Lord of your life. You renounce your sin. You follow Jesus. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, would you pray for me? That's me. Today, I want to make that decision. Today, I'm ready to serve Jesus Christ. If that's you, raise your hand up real high. Raise it up right now. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you for raising your hand. Raise it up real high. Keep raising them. Keep raising them. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you so much. Keep raising them. Keep them up for just a few more moments. Keep them up for just a few more moments. God bless you. I'm waiting for others to raise their hand. Many people with their hands raised today. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Those of you with your hands raised, I want you to pray this very simple prayer with me, and anybody that would like to encourage them in this prayer, say it out loud. I'm just leading you in prayer, but you're the one talking to Jesus. Say, dear God, thank you for truth. Thank you for grace. Thank you for love. I believe what you say, that I have sinned. I agree with you. I'm guilty. Please forgive me. Today I renounce my sin. And today I choose Jesus. I believe Jesus Christ died because of my sin. And he rose again to give me new life. So from this day forward, Jesus is Lord of my life. Holy Spirit, give me power to serve you every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Somebody give God praise for all of these that have prayed just now. Thank you, God. Now, for those of you that you meant business with God, you're not just fulfilling some religious duty, I want to encourage you. First of all, I want to welcome you to the family of God. On your way out at the Next Steps kiosk, there's a place for you to, we want to put a Bible in your hand, a one-year Bible, and we want to put some materials in your hand to help you grow. And we want to encourage you in your walk with God, because this will last forever on your journey of faith. And all the people who've been serving God for more than a day said amen. Amen. So God bless you for that. I invite you to stand here today. As we bring this service to a close, I want to encourage you next week, as we take on the prophecy part of the book of Daniel, I think people you know, people that are lost, they're going to be fascinated when you simply line up the newspaper and the Word of God. There will be no doubt who's in charge. I want to encourage you to do your best to bring people to church next Sunday. But today, here's our prayer. God, make me like Daniel. Would you make that your prayer right where you're standing today? Would you respond to God right where you're standing? Lord, make me like Daniel. God, make me like Daniel. In this culture that we live, God, give me character. Give me love. Help me to pray. Help me walk in power. Lord, I don't want to be afraid. I don't want to cower in fear. I don't want to be contentious in this culture. God, I want to be salt. I want to be light in a dark and dying world. God, even now, prepare the week ahead of me. Even now, prepare the day ahead of me, God. And I pray that when the opportunities come for me to speak up, to stand up, God, give me courage to do it. And as a result, let people be drawn to Jesus. Amen. I love you so much, church. I praise God for you. I'm just thankful for the heart that you have to hear the truth, to walk in the truth. I'm so proud of you. And I'm excited about what God has for us in the future. Are you too? Amen. God bless you. Have a great day in the Lord. We love you. I give myself away.